Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, ran down Santa Claus Lane. Vixen and Blixen and old as reindeer pulling on the reins. Bells are ringing, children singing, all is merry and bright. Hang your stocking, see your bears, cause Santa Claus comes tonight.
The singer who gave us Mr. Tambourine Man now pays tribute to another mysterious night wanderer, Santa. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and ahead today, we debate Bob Dylan's bizarre new Christmas album, and our critics face off on Holiday Records by Tori Amos and Sugarland as well. And later, pianist Lisa Moore performs the music of composer Don Byron live in our studio. But first, after a legendary career that includes 34 studio albums, countless live performances, and one very weird underwear commercial, you might think that Bob Dylan had run out of ways to surprise his listeners. Well, you'd be wrong. This fall, he unveiled Christmas in the Heart, an album of Christmas carols whose profits will benefit World Hunger Charities. Critics were sharply divided. Was this a desperate last gasp by a 68-year-old artist or a brilliant new take on some well-traveled material? That is a question for this week's
Soundcheck Smackdown.
And joining us on the line are Jim DeRogatis, pop critic for the Chicago Sun-Times, and Chris Richards, pop critic at the Washington Post. They are both repeat offenders. Jim, Chris, welcome back to Soundcheck.
Thanks, John. Thanks. Glad to be here.
And listeners, we're going to want to hear from you, too. What do you think of Dylan's Christmas in the Heart? You can call us at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or leave a comment on the Soundcheck page of our website. Jim, let me start with you. The Dylan record, first up in our holiday madness on the SmackDown this week, is it a stocking stuffer or a lump of coal?
Oh, boy. Well, you know, I hate to sound like the guy whose heart is too small at this season, but this is not only the worst record Dylan's ever made. This is quite possibly one of the worst records ever made, period. It's truly, truly a painful... If you go to Chris's review in the Washington Post, you know, all the things that he says to praise it actually sound like really harsh criticisms. And I've had a lot of people write to me and say, you know, at first I read your review and thought that it was so bad it was good. But not, no, it's so bad that it's bad. I mean, really, really, really bad.
Is it the material? Is it his delivery? What's the problem?
Well, you have to remember, I got to preface this by saying I'm a huge Dylan fan. And one of the things, being, you know, a perverted Gen X punk kind of guy that I am, that I love about Dylan is just how perverse he is. You know, this is the man in his autobiography who posited Tiny Tim as perhaps his greatest musical influence and championed, you know, the wrestler Gorgeous George as one of his ultimate heroes. You know, so Dylan is always kind of, you know, pulling people's leg. And at first I thought, with these ultra straight but bizarre arrangements of these holiday standards mixed with these, he's the crotchety, creepy old uncle, you know. When, even that song we played on the way in, you know, and when Santa Claus comes to town, you know, it's like a threat. It's not a promise or a celebration. He's the, like, the guy who shows up really drunk at the Christmas party, really smelling bad, and pinches everybody's butts.
All right, Chris.
And you don't want to have him around.
Chris, I got to give you a chance to respond because, you know, I had the same reaction to your review that Jim did. I'm reading words like bizarre, menacing, and yes, creepy in your review, and it's a good review.
Yes. Well, I think there's room for menacing and creepy in the holiday time in America. I mean, Dylan is the guy who transposes American experience into song, and this is an album, as crazy as it sounds, that really, to me, captures both the mania and the artifice of the holiday season. You know, there's so much panic and crazy energy going around in everyone's mind, and at the same time, all the sort of commercial, squeaky clean imagery on our televisions, and I think, you know, you capture the insanity of it in Dylan's voice, and you capture the squeaky clean element in the arrangements and the orchestration of these songs. So I do agree with what Jim is saying. Like, I think we feel that all these signposts in the album do exist, but I think they're great, and he thinks that they're horrible.
And you both agree that he sounds psychotic. It's just for you that's a good thing?
Well, I mean, you know, if we're talking about where we grew up, I grew up in the punk rock world and in the hardcore world, so sounding psychotic can be an asset, especially at the holidays. It's refreshing. You know,
yeah,
a lot of times with Christmas albums, you know, so many times they're so common and so boring, and this is something that's actually interesting and unique, and that's probably the most important asset to this, is that it's unique.
Jim?
I don't know. Chris, did you see the interview that he did with Bill Flanagan, you know, that hack supreme from VH1, where Dylan was, you know, Flanagan was asking him about the negative reviews of this album, and Dylan was insisting, albeit in kind of elliptical one-sentence answers, again and again and again, that he was serious, that he wanted to pay homage to traditional 20s-style pseudo Nat King Cole Christmas music. Now, again, with Dylan, it must be remembered that the man is one of the funniest people in the history of rock and roll, if not all of popular music, right? So the more he insists something, the more you have to suspect that maybe the opposite is true, right? But you know, if he intended to make a Nat King Cole record, you know, and none of this perversity was intentional, you know, do you think he succeeded?
I don't think so, but it doesn't really. I don't subscribe to the idea that what they intended is what the art actually becomes. To me, this is a Christmas album that really stands out amongst everything else that came out this season, and it's come out over the course of the past few years. And I think it kind of even earns a place with these great Christmas albums that, you know, we've seen from James Brown, and, you know, you think of the famous Paul McCartney tune. I think this stands out because it's so unique and so bizarre. I'm attracted to it. Maybe it's my perversion.
You're talking to like a bona fide edge of Satanism. Pagan, you know, I celebrate solstice, the heck of Christmas, okay? You know, I want to run naked through the woods, right? So, but you're going to actually tell me that you listen to this for pleasure? Because as twisted as I am, I can't do that.
Yeah, for sure, I do. I mean, I also listen to The Germs and to Sepultura.
Yeah,
same time or in the same day, but I do feel that this record has a unique spot, and it, of all the Christmas albums that I own, it's incredibly unique, and I will keep revisiting it over the years, I think.
We are hearing from the incredibly scary Chris Richards, pop music critic at the Washington Post, and Jim DeRogatis, strangely enough, finding himself on the side of reason in our soundcheck debate this week. Pop music critic.
Not according to the many Dylan fans who've written me with hate mail. You know, I mean, they still believe in Santa Claus. You can't question, you know, the deity. Don't do it.
Right.
Well, let's give people a chance to hear what we're actually talking about. This is Dylan's version of Winter Wonderland.
Are you listening in the lane? Snow is glistening. A beautiful sight. We're happy tonight. Walking in a winter wonderland. Gone away is a bluebird. In his place is a new bird. He sings a love song as we go along, walking in a winter wonderland. In the meadow we can build a snowman, then pretend that he is passing ground. He'll say, are you married? We'll say, no man, but you can do the job when you're in town. Later on we'll conspire as we dream by the fire, to face unafraid the plans that we've made, walking in a winter wonderland.
That is Winter Wonderland, Bob Dylan and orchestra and chorus from the album called Christmas in my Heart, or Christmas in the Heart. It's his contribution to what has been a very busy and very odd year for holiday music, and our critics, Jim DeRogatis from the Chicago Sun-Times and Chris Richards of the Washington Post, are debating a few of them for us on our SmackDown this week. We haven't gotten past Dylan yet, and we want to know what you think. You can call us at 212-433-9692. That's 433-WNYC. Tell us what you think of this year's batch of holiday albums, and especially if you have an opinion about the Bob Dylan record, which has engendered very strong opinions on both sides. Guys, it's always tough to talk about what Dylan may or may not have intended, because he is, to use the word, Jim, that you used, very elliptical in explaining things. But on his website, in this interview on his website, he says, these songs are part of my life just like folk songs. I mean, Jim, do you think he intended to make a good record and just failed miserably?
I would never second-guess Dylan because, you know, he's so twisted on so many levels and so complicated that you can't really figure it out. I do know, however, that we as critics do him a disservice if we don't call him on his failures as well as his towering accomplishments. I mean, hands down, the man is the most important figure in Western music, you know, in the last century, right? You know, but he's not infallible. He's mm-hmm. made some real stinkers, and especially now that his voice is going. And on the last two albums, which had great moments, especially him jamming with David Hidalgo of Los Lobos, you know, kind of loose, fun, bluesy jam with accordion. But there have also been these tracks where he's been anchored in this kind of maudlin, sappy love of Tin Pan Alley 1920s, 1930s pop music. You know, now Dylan doing the folk, the country, the blues from those eras is nothing short of revelatory. But him going to what in its day was the equivalent of American Idol mainstream pap and factory-produced pop, there was nothing good about it in 29. There's nothing good about it in 2009.
Chris, again, I mean, I know it's a dicey thing to talk about what he might have intended, but is there any chance that he knew exactly what he was doing and that he made an album so good, I mean, so bad that it's good?
It's impossible for me to answer that question just because Dylan has confused me over the years. I do agree with Jim in the fact that we should hold him to the highest standards, and I'm still getting angry email over a 2006 concert review that I gave him from his very, very, very loyal fans. So I agree with that, and I know that's not good for SmackDown, but I will say it's just impossible from my vantage point to try and figure out what he's thinking and what he's intending. I think his music at this point in his career takes on meaning and takes on life in the ears of the people who are listening to it. Now, of course, there's that legion of fans who are unflagging and loyal no matter what. And there's someone like me who comes to it, you know, very open and trying to see how it makes me feel. And the thing is that this record just, to me, stands out. It's so bizarre and so weird. It's like no other Christmas record that has ever even probably been released. So.
Yeah, but you know, a traffic accident is also very compelling and you can't take your eyes off of it. I mean, just to say, that's hardly...
The referee is not on my side in this debate.
No, I'm trying to stay neutral here. I really am, Chris. I'm simply saying that as criticism goes, to say that you can't, you know, turn away from it is not necessarily the highest praise. It's all I'm suggesting. You know what? Let's hear some other voices. Our producer, Joel Myers, in the control room. He's been moderating the comments. Joel, what do you got?
John, I want to read you a few descriptions of the Dylan album that listeners have posted on the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org. The scariest Christmas album yet. The Big Bad Wolf singing carols. I don't know if that's good or bad. And unlistenable. But mostly, I want to draw everyone's attention to this comment from Lori in Brooklyn. Lori writes, I'm digging the bits of Dylan's album. I'll likely buy it. Unlike most Christmas carol renditions, his versions make me smile. However, the powers that be at the Park Slope Food Co-op felt otherwise last Thursday. Someone's iPod played Dylan's Noel over the speakers, and after a mixed reaction from shoppers, the tune abruptly stopped. John, if what I hear from friends is true, those Park Slope Food Co-op folks don't mess around.
I have to tell you, as an ex-member of that food, it's huge, and people there take their music very, very seriously.
And you don't want people losing their lunch as they're trying to buy their lunch.
All right, let's take some calls. Lewis is joining us from here in New York. Lewis, a longtime Dylan listener. And Lewis, what do you make of the Christmas record?
Well, as I told your operator, I haven't heard it yet except for cuts, but I got my first Dylan album when I was a teenager in the 60s.
You're going to have to turn your radio down there, Lewis.
Yeah, my radio is off.
Okay.
Talking to you on a cell phone, though. Yes, I've been listening to Dylan. I'm a tremendous fan. A lot of people hate Dylan's voice, right? Don't you know tons of people who say, well, I can't listen to Dylan. He doesn't know how to sing. I can't, including my 20-year-old daughter. We went to a concert. She loved Tom Petty and couldn't handle Dylan's voice. Dylan is an acquired taste, but he's a musicologist. Why wouldn't he want to visit the great Christmas songs? And why wouldn't you take him at his word? This is the guy who did Self-Portrait. This is the guy who recorded The Boxer, and then they cut Big Yellow Taxi by Joni Mitchell.
But do you like it? Do you like what you've heard from the record?
I've heard Here Comes Santa Claus, and I think it's pretty good. I'm waiting to... I was online to buy something. I heard another snippet of a track, and I liked it. I like that, too. I didn't buy it yet because I'm waiting for it as a Christmas present. But I think your first guy from Chicago wants Dylan to be what he wants him to be. And when he read Chronicles, Dylan knew Tiny Tim way back when. They had hamburgers together backstage. He didn't say that Tiny Tim was his idol. He said they were buddies. They were in the same boat at the same time in their careers.
All right, Chicago guy, Jim, you got a response for Lewis?
I think Tiny Tim probably would have made a better Christmas record. Ukulele and all.
All right, we have a couple of other Christmas albums specifically that we want to talk about, but it has been just a wild season for holiday music. And, you know, what would you think about getting season's greetings from artists like, for example, Neil Diamond?
Wish you a very merry cherry, cherry Christmas, and a holly, holy holiday too. Underneath your tree, may there always be sounds of harmony, not a song sung blue.
Not to be outdone, Sting released a seasonal effort called If on a Winter's Night.
The angel Gabriel from heaven came, his wings as drifted snow, his eyes as flame. Ah, here said he, thou the holy maiden Mary, most highly favored lady, glory.
And of course, how could your Christmas be merry without a seasonal greeting from Rob Halford, lead singer of Judas Priest? All right, in a moment, our dueling critics will examine holiday records from Tori Amos and the country duo Sugarland. And later, a composition called Seven Etudes made Don Byron a finalist for this year's Pulitzer Prize in Music. We'll hear some of it played live in our studio by the pianist for whom it was written, Lisa Moore. That's coming up on Soundcheck. Soundcheck, I'm John Schaefer. So Bob Dylan might have been the most unlikely artist to make a holiday album this year, but he certainly wasn't the only one. This year's grab bag included music from Yacht Rockers' REO Speedwagon, metal god Rob Halford, and this singer-songwriter, Tori Amos, who performed a bit of this album, Midwinter Graces, for us in the WNYC Green Space just a couple of weeks back. Here to help us separate this season's naughty and nice, once again, Jim DeRogatis, pop music critic of the Chicago Sun-Times, and Chris Richards, pop music critic at the Washington Post. And we want to know what you think of this year's batch of holiday efforts. Do we still need new Christmas music? Do we need this new Christmas music? Call us at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or leave a comment on the Soundcheck page, WNYC.org. Jim, what do you think of Tori Amos's record, which doesn't actually have the word Christmas anywhere? It's Midwinter Graces.
It's about, you know, celebrating the goddess and all that stuff.
Right. Well, I mean, you were the one talking about getting naked and running around in the woods for the solstice.
And generally, I am down with that. I think that I got to preface this by saying that when you review Christmas music, you know, when you're reviewing a Bob Dylan solo album, you have 36 albums of Dylan's own career to judge him against, and 50-some-odd years of rock and roll history, going on six decades, really, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's considerable. When you review Christmas music, though, you have centuries worth of canon. You know what I mean? And to come along and to give us another First Noel in the midst of that, you know, you really better have something to add to the First Noel. The nice thing about Tori's album is that it doesn't go to the hackneyed, you know, standards, as even Dylan did, as Rob Halford did, right? Mm. On the other hand, it brings out the worst in Tori. I mean, Tori at her best balances the crazy, psychotic, very angry, righteous woman with the little fairy nymphette floating through the ether, you know? And this is all ether fairy and not enough of a wicked Tori.
Chris, what do you think?
Well, we disagree on this one again. I think many listeners sort of recoil when pop artists do holiday albums because it can feel like a cash grab, or even worse, when it feels like a pose. But with this album, I feel that Tori does stay true to her vibe as an artist. I mean, I've always been drawn to this kind of like fairy tale, pagan ice queen persona that she's projected, something I feel that she somewhat stole from Kate Bush and mutated into her own thing. And it's consistent here. So I think... Once again, Jim and I are seeing the same record and seeing all the same things about it, but just falling on different sides of the fence.
Well, you know, it's funny. One of the things that struck me about this record is that she does actually sort of borrow from some of the tried and true, I mean, Silent Night and songs like that, but she actually uses them more as building blocks for something new. For example, listen to this. This is called A Silent Night With You from the Tori Amos record.
The radio plays my holiday fades. It takes me back to when our love was new. Young lovers pass me by with a glow that used to be us not so long ago. You said then, I just want to spend a silent night with you, with you. A silent night with you.
Tori Amos, A Silent Night With You, one of many songs on her album Midwinter Graces that borrows from thrice familiar Christmas tunes, but makes sort of new songs out of them, or sometimes on top of them with them. And that one of the holiday albums to come our way this season. We're debating several of them with Jim DeRogatis and Chris Richards from the Chicago Sun-Times and Washington Post, respectively. And Andy is joining us on the line from Newark. Andy, I understand your musical tastes run towards metal and death metal and stuff like that. Is that right?
Yes, that is correct.
So what did you think of the Rob Halford, you know, the lead singer of Judas Priest, taking on holiday music?
I got to say, I was not impressed. I listened to a little bit of it in a store, and I had to quickly throw it down because I was afraid it was going to knock the hair out of my head.
And the Dylan?
And that actually appealed to me. I think the gravelly with the you know, the traditional, it works.
So the death metal fan prefers Dylan to Rob Halford from Judas Priest. So take that for what it's worth. I think Joel Meyer, our producer, has a related comment from the comments that are coming in on the soundcheck page. Is that right, Joel?
That's right. Our listener CJ says that she talked about the Tori Amos album and the Rob Halford album in her comment that she left on the WNYC page. She says that Tori's seasonal album appeals mostly to hardcore fans, although she does have some interesting gems to make it memorable. And then, make of this what you will, she really likes the Rob Halford album. But, John, I think the one trend that I want to point out that's going on the soundcheck page right now, New Jersey is standing up for Bob Dylan's Christmas album Hardcore. There's like half a dozen New Jersey listeners who are all throwing their support behind the New Jersey album. Also, Rabbi Mike from Nyack writes, even at 68, the man can still simultaneously celebrate the American songbook, evoke polarizing debate, and freak out cultural critics so that they're rendered apoplectic on public radio. Isn't that what he's done for four decades?
Good for him. Jim, you're a New Jersey man yourself, aren't you?
No, Jersey City, man. You know, what's just my people turning on me.
All right, let's move on to Sugarland, the country duo, and their album Gold and Green. Chris, this is, you know, a lot of the old familiar carols, kind of, you know, big produced sound and stuff. Any surprises here?
Well, it's actually half and half. Five of the songs on the album are traditional. Five of the songs are originals. And I actually spoke with Jennifer Nettles and Christian Bush from the band a couple weeks ago. They were in D.C. for the filming of Christmas in Washington, the big TNT special where a lot of pop artists perform for the First Family. And the band was telling me that they, with the original songs, they were really trying to, as bold as it sounds, enter the canon of Christmas music. In that sense,
what
I don't know.
What does that mean? Does that mean they want to be the next Andy Williams?
Absolutely. You know, they said that, yeah, they were saying with the song Golden Green, the title track from the album, they wanted to kind of give it a Bing Crosby feel and really try and write a classic. The closest they come to that, I think, with their original material is a song called Little Wood Guitar, which I thought was very charming. But probably my favorite track on the album is their rendition of Nuttin' for Christmas, which is an incredibly annoying Christmas song, but they just turned it into this speedy little stomp that I found just fantastic. And the ability to kind of turn those really horrible holiday morsels that just drive you crazy into something that you can tap your toe to. I think that's very admirable and kind of almost the quiet triumph of this record.
Song called Nuttin' for Christmas in 2009 recording by the group Sugarland. So to recap, Jim DeRogatis didn't like the Dylan, Chris Richards did. The Tori Amos record, Jim didn't like it, Chris did. The Sugarland record, Chris liked it, Jim?
Oh, it's the most brilliant Christmas record in the history of popular music since Phil Spector's, I don't know, nothing says Christmas to me like a overproduced Nashville banjo and pedal steel and a trumped up country accent.
Huh? But did you like it?
No, I didn't like it, no. I'm going to go back and listen to Phil Spector again and Marvin Gaye. And, you know, I'm insane. He really got it. Like, you know, Marvin Gaye was right up there with Irving Berlin, and so was Phil Spector and a couple of others. You know, there were Christmas records I liked this year, and none of the ones we've hit on.
All right, Jim, here's your chance. Name one Christmas record this year that you liked.
I really liked the Los Straitjackets, Yuletide Beat. You know, it's their second. They're those guys in the Lucha Libre Mexican wrestling masks, and this is their second instrumental Christmas album. And you could put this on even if Grandma and Grandpa are over. You know, it's like the cool, you know, surf twang, lowrider East LA groove takes on instrumental Christmas music.
So Los Straitjackets works for you.
Yeah, right. It's not offensive. I'm saying it's not as good as, like, White Christmas. You know, they didn't add a new standard to the canon that will stand up for centuries. But it, you know, it's good.
All right. Then, Chris, I'm going to give you the chance to say the same favorite Christmas album of the season.
It's got to be the Dylan record. It's one that's going to stay on my shelf and always stand alone, I think, in its weirdness and capturing this crazy manic energy of this season. But in the spirit of Peace on Earth, I do agree with Jim on that last point. That record is cool.
The Low Straitjacket one.
Yes, exactly.
All right. So finally, at the end of a long and bruising SmackDown, agreement between Jim DeRogatis and Chris Richards, pop music critics respectively for the Chicago Sun-Times and the Washington Post. Jim, Chris, to both of you, happy holidays. Thanks for being with us today.
It's always a pleasure. Hey, can you put a word in for Chris Bannon? Tell me I want to be added to WNYC for Christmas.
Will do. Thanks, Jim, Chris.
Happy holidays.
Best
guys.
To both of you.
All right. Who wears a long cap on his head?
Santa wears a long cap on his head. Cap on his suit of red. Special night. Yeah, that's what. Must be Santa. Must be Santa. Must be Santa. Santa
Still to come, pianist Lisa Moore and clarinetist composer Don Byron join us. Lisa's going to perform part of the work that was a finalist for the Pulitzer Prize in Music that Don wrote earlier this year. That's coming up next on Soundcheck.
Check out today's Soundcheck blog.
Carla Bley is unpredictable and eccentric, but her Christmas album isn't weird. It's original and genuine and warm, and when God Rest You Merry Gentlemen appears in 5/4 time, well, that just makes you appreciate the tune and the arrangement all the more.
For the rest of the story, visit the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org.